What's up, heretics? Real quick before we get to the show. This one's going to be a bit of a strange one. Unfortunately, the scheduling for recording the podcast just got a little messed up this weekend. But don't worry. We still sat down, did some recording. And plus, I have a ton of behind the scenes, B-roll, whatever you want to call it, audio saved on my computer that, well, we got some good stuff in there. So I'm going to present some of that to you. I'm not sure what I'm going to call these yet. Bloopers, outtakes, they're not really outtakes. Cutting room floor, whatever you want to call it. But this is a strange one, but it's still entertaining, so stick around. And as always, I appreciate you. All right, I want to start this podcast before it gets too hot in here.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Start to get warm.
Yeah. Let's do it.
All right. This is going set up right.
Because, yeah, we got the clock on us while we're still, I guess when we take the break, we can go out and pant like dogs.
Right, I'll turn the fucking swamp cooler on high and hopefully cool it off a little bit. And got that. I guess I'll just stick with that intro for now. And
I like quote-unquote educational.
Right.
It's like Top Gear. To get in podcasting mode, I watched part of the episode where they're trying to prove why rear-wheel drive is best.
Oh, yeah.
And the Stig shows up and just smokes them all in a front-wheel drive Renault.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Rear-wheel drive doesn't necessarily mean fastest.
Mm-mm. It's just great at destroying tires.
It's way more fun. It's, like Jeremy Clarkson said, it's like, for whatever reason, men just prefer rear-wheel drive.
Yeah. Like loud, brash, going sideways.
Right.
Are you still getting that BMW?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know where I'm going to fucking put it, even if I do. So,
yeah, we need a compound.
Yep, I know.
That way we can say, coming to you guys from the Religion of Speed compound.
Yeah. There is that, like, 1,500 square foot garage that's still for rent. It's $900 a month.
Is that the one that has no power?
So it has power now. It says limited power, though.
Okay.
So I don't know what that means.
Yeah. Yeah, what does limited power mean?
I mean, probably just 110 is what that means.
Oh,
I
would guess. Okay.
Just
okay.
And probably just a couple outlets.
Doesn't mean at 8 o'clock they're going to shut the breaker off. I hope you don't need the compressor.
Right.
Use the pressure in the tank, guys.
But, I mean, even then, like, electric tools are the way to go anyways these days, so.
That's true. I just have the compressor for my tires at this point.
Yeah.
I got some impact driver bits for my, I bought like a power torque power drill when I worked at O'Reilly, and it says it's an impact driver too.
Okay.
Haven't tried it as an impact driver yet, but I got the, you know, the bits that adapt it from the power drill to the impact.
Okay, yeah.
You know, it's super long, so there's not a lot of tight spaces you can get it into, but I'm thinking it should help it make it easier to get wheels and stuff on and off.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to have enough torque for that, but
to actually put them on.
I mean, you have to break them loose, but then you can at least zip them on and off like that.
Yeah.
So.
Which is, I have been using a tire iron, so.
Yeah, so that is an upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah, we could go take a look at it and see what kind of, like, is that the one in Denver?
It says it's in Englewood.
Could be
somewhere
close.
Around here-ish.
Yeah, since Englewood, the definition of Englewood is so weird and ambiguous.
It's like, yeah, Englewood. I guess that's technically all of Englewood, but, like, yeah, technically there's some of it's, like, over here, too.
Yeah, because Aspen is technically in Englewood.
Yeah. It's really weird.
Yeah, I don't understand how that's the case.
Where's the Wikipedia? Where's my district map? No district map? Okay, whatever. But, yeah, it's a weird one. So.
I feel like it's just that way all over the Denver area.
Thank you, gerrymandering.
Thank you, gerrymandering. Got to divide up that voter base.
Right.
And it's funny because, you know, most states, it's one party doing it to the other party.
Right.
But in Colorado, I imagine it's both parties doing it to each other.
Yeah, trying to just get an edge wherever they can.
Yeah, because it's a purple state. So
yeah.
Everybody's just like, oh, no, we got to divide the conservative base there. No, got to divide the liberal base there.
Right.
Yeah.
It's something like 60 to 70% of the population lives in... Maybe even 80% of the population lives in the city centers of either Denver or Colorado Springs.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Now I really want to get some property in the country.
Right? Yeah, there's nobody out there.
Yeah.
All right. Got to do this.
Let's do
Stop bullshitting and do the thing.
Yeah, do the thing where we're bullshitting on purpose.
Yeah, exactly. Where we're kind of getting paid to bullshit. Hey, we made like 40 cents.
Hey, wasn't it like 2 cents last time?
Yeah.
38, I mean, percentage-wise.
Right?
Yeah.
We're getting some decent money.
If we keep on this trip, we'll be millionaires by the end of the year.
If we keep, well, by the end of the century or something, yeah.
Because it's like what, like a 10,000% increase or something?
Well, no.
No, my brain stopped being able to do
math. Like a 200%. Well.
Well, from 2 cents to 40 cents.
Sorry, 2,000?
Is it 2,000?
2,000%.
Yeah, it keeps increasing at 2,000%.
True. I don't think we're going to keep that rate. But, dude, that's just all-encompassing when it's doing that shit. Because you're like, I gotta watch it.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's going to spike, and I want to sell then before it dips again.
Yeah, and it's like, how much am I making today? Less than I am with Doge.
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much what it was.
Want to send me home? That's fine. I'll go home and watch the market.
Yeah, it's fine. God, that was fucking crazy.
Yeah, that was
like, really lost sleep.
Just because you're just, like, watching the market?
Yeah, because I'm like, well, it's not like stocks where the market closes, and you're like, okay, I have a break.
Yeah.
I think that's why the market closes with stocks, to give everybody a fucking break.
Like 2 o'clock or 4 o'clock on the East Coast, 2 o'clock here, everything shuts down.
But instead, it was like, you know, oh, well, China market's waking up now and they love Dogecoin too, so better watch this shit.
Yeah, and you just trade crypto whenever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
When Robinhood lets you trade stocks in between each other, right?
Yeah, so you can do aftermarket trading, but usually it's like for like 45 minutes after it closes, then everybody just calms down and you can't really...
There's not a whole lot left going on?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, crypto, you can trade as much as you want, anytime you want.
Yeah, it's completely unregulated.
It's like a freaking casino that's open 24 hours on your phone.
God, it is that.
It is. It's exactly what it is.
And anyone of any age can do it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I got a Bitwise account. I need to finish setting it up and buy, like I said, just these obscure cryptos nobody's ever heard of.
Yeah.
And apparently there's one called Shiba Inu that's going up.
It was. I think it folded now. I don't know. I haven't looked into it. Because I was so mad because it was like 0.0001 cents or something like that.
The Shiba?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, sure, I'll buy into that.
Yeah.
And I was like, sure, I'll buy into that. And I was like, I was trying to get this one app to work. It's crypto.com.
Yeah.
Wouldn't work. They were getting bombarded with new requests and stuff. So they were just, their servers were down and shit. And then by the time I got to the point where I could buy it, it already spiked.
Ah, like, that sucks.
I could have made a few $100 off that shit, but.
The cool thing is with crypto, there's just constant new opportunities.
Right. And the shitty thing about crypto is there's just constant shit.
Yeah. There's always shit going on. But yeah, that would be cool. Just one crypto just makes it, and then we can afford to finance the podcast and stop.
Right. It's pretty bad when our generation's like, if I just gamble enough,
yeah,
I can finally afford to be an adult.
That's the best we can do.
Right.
Like, if we don't inherit it or fucking win it on the lottery,
right,
then that's it. Like, we don't have another opportunity.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't get fashion.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny because I was like, oh, I heard the 80s were back. So I wore like a Family Ties sweater and some khakis.
Yeah.
Apparently that's not the 80s that are back.
Oh, okay. No, that means you're old.
Right. Yeah. Like, oh, 80s, sweet. All right. I'll dress like I'm in an 80s sitcom. Oh, that's not the 80s you're talking about, is it?
No, nope, I fucked up.
Yeah, go get some neon leg warmers. Hang on.
I did see these sunglasses at the fuck is that? The general store in downtown Littleton.
Yeah.
It's just kind of like a little, I mean, it's a general store, but it mostly sells knickknacks and candies and stuff.
That sounds kind of cool.
It's a little cool place. But they had these glasses. They were like the wraparound, like,
nice
neon colored, like different shades of yellow, red bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
Chromatic sunglasses. I was like, I kind of like those.
Yeah.
I was like, how much are the sunglasses? She's like, oh, $169. I was like,
were they Oakley or something?
I don't even know what the fuck they were.
Shit. I mean, if they were like a brand name.
Right. I think it was like a brand name, but no brand I've ever heard of. I don't know what the brand of sunglasses. I could name Oakley.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oakley and Ray-Bans.
Ray-Bans, yeah, yeah, sure.
I'm more of a Ray... I got Ray-Bans for a gift one time. Actually, not even from my family, from a friend. And they were fucking great. Best sunglasses I've ever owned.
Oh, really?
Lasted me a while, and they finally broke, like 6-7 years later.
I buy cheap sunglasses.
And most of my... The ones I buy are cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I know I'm going to either lose them, break them, something like that.
Yeah. Same reason I buy cheap pocket knives.
Yeah.
Most pocket knives don't last me more than 6 months. Because I'm going to lose it or break it because I like to throw them when I'm bored.
Yeah, you're not supposed to do that with pocket knives.
No.
They make throwing knives for that.
I've got throwing knives too. I just want to be ready to throw my pocket knife if the situation ever arose.
You don't want to throw your pocket knife though. Because that's just, if you miss, you're handing your opponent a weapon.
That's true. That's true. Hopefully they can't catch.
Yeah. Or if you just miss and it falls next to him, like, oh, it's a little knife. Oh,
shit. I had one chance to look really cool and I fucked it up.
We need to go axe throwing sometime.
Yeah, did you see there's an axe throwing studio? There's a few of them around here.
Yeah.
I want to do that. Now, can you bring your own throwing knives and axes?
I don't know.
Because I've got a few and I'd love to go do that.
Of course you have a few. Yeah, because, you know, pack them up and bring them in.
I got really into rope dart for a little while.
Rope dart?
So, you know, the scorpion... Mortal Kombat. Yeah, the kunai with chain.
Yep.
Yeah, that's...
God, you're such a nerd.
Right? So yeah, I got into rope dart for a little while, and I started buying a bunch of cheap kunai on Amazon and like paracord.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's really fun. You can stab yourself so easily.
Yeah, because that rope just boom, flying back at you.
Well, like, yeah, you've got to learn to like use the tension on the line. And, but that's the biggest thing when I, you know, cause throwing knives always come in sets of three. So it's like 1, 2, 3, and best case scenario, you stick them all three in the target. You got to walk to the target, pick them out, situate yourself and go.
Yeah.
If you miss, you got to find the throwing knives wherever they landed. But with the rope dart, no matter what happens, you miss, you sink it, you just stand right there and you can just keep doing it over and over again.
Okay.
I had no idea how many yo-yo tricks translate to rope dart.
It just like using your whole hand instead of like your finger, basically.
Well, you know, like the shoot the moon where you can flip it over your wrist.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a, so if you get good at it, and this was one thing I started trying to practice. So you sink it into the first target and then that puts tension on the line. You've got to pull tension to get it out of the target. And then when it pops out, that's instantly flying right back at your face.
Yeah.
So you have to step out of the way and then redirect it. But if you get used to it and you expect it, you can just continuously go from target to target to target.
Huh.
And yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like I said,
how many times did you hurt yourself learning those stuff?
I've bled a lot. I don't even know if I could tell you how many times I've cut myself doing just various stupid things with knives. But I started collecting knives when I was 9 years old and basically started doing stupid shit with knives. Then my dad set up a throwing knife target in the backyard, and I used to get home from school and just throw knives.
Okay. My dad wouldn't let me do too many stupid things with knives because he made knives and he taught me a healthy respect of knives from a very early age.
Yeah. My dad's teaching me respect of knives had a very broad definition.
It's like, yeah, he'll figure it out.
Yeah, he'll bleed and then he'll figure out not to do it like that.
I mean, granted, the knives my dad made, too, though, could easily slice off a finger, so...
Yeah, your dad made some really cool, like, tool steel knives.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. Like, and they're all razor sharp because he just made them.
Right.
Most of mine are just cheap toys that I played with.
Right.
Let's see, I think I still have a stab wound from this butterfly knife trick I was trying to figure out.
This is the newest one my dad made with the Damascus blade.
So did he, like, actually make the Damascus?
So he got the Damascus, but it comes, like, just, it looks like stainless steel.
Okay.
So then he had to etch it, chemically etch it, to get the pattern on it.
Dude, that is gorgeous. And that's, what, like, an antler handle?
What was he telling me this was from? This is some sort of exotic fucking antler from some creature in Africa or something that he ordered.
That's cool. He's just ordering, like, you know, you can order ivory online.
No, there's like whole like knife making like websites that have all sorts of slabs of antler and stuff like that.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a folder and everything.
Dude, that looks cool. And he did the Tonto blade too.
Yeah. Yeah. I like the Tonto blades.
Yeah, they're cool. That front point always ends up getting the most use.
Yeah.
Like, you can open a package just really easily with it.
See. Oh, he was working an assisted opener. So this was the mechanism he has inside of it.
Oh, that's neat. I can see the track. Yeah. Is that like a leaf spring?
Yeah, that's basically a spring.
Man, that's cool.
Yeah, I was like, I was wondering how long it would take him to start making assisted opener knives. Because he started off, you know, when he was first starting making fixed blades. And then, you know, fixed blade kind of like this.
And that looks cool as shit, too.
Yeah.
And is that tool steel?
Probably.
So that'd really hard steel. So,
yeah.
So these things hold an edge for a while.
Mm-hmm. And he's been tempering them himself, too. So.
Man, that's cool.
Yeah. He's doing all sorts of shit. He makes beautiful knives. Like, I don't know. I keep telling him he just needs to quit his job and make knives for a living, but.
He could totally do that.
Yeah. He's of the opinion of, like, this is my hobby. I don't want it to be my job because then it's not as fun.
I could see that.
Like, that's fair. But I'm sure that's going to be, like, his retirement project is just making knives and selling them. You know, once he has nothing else to do with his time.
Yeah. Just making beautiful knives and selling them. And then all of a sudden he'll make more money doing that than he ever made at his job.
Probably. And he'll be like, why the fuck did I do this before? I'll be like, I know.
Good. Good. I was worried when Z-Geners stopped getting their driver's licenses.
Right.
I saw that Nissan Kicks commercial and I'm like, this is the apocalypse.
Right? Yeah. Oh my God, the Nissan Kicks. You don't have to tell me.
They reshot it. Again, there's one plan at our dealership where it was a young dude at first. Now it's a young woman, like, turning her car on with her Apple Watch. Yeah.
I hate it. The Nissan Kicks just, like, that is the epitome to me of I don't care about my car.
Yeah.
Of
I only care about the technology.
Not even that. I just, is it affordable? Does it get me somewhere? Does it kind of look a little funky? That's all I care about.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
And they're already fucking breaking. And they've been out 2 years.
Well, yeah, like I said, I think that was really made for China.
And they just adapted it enough for the U.S. market.
Right.
That
was it. Yeah. Fucking Nissan. How far you have fallen.
At least they're still making the Z.
They're going to make the Z. I feel like the new people in charge at Nissan are trying their hardest to kind of bring them back in line.
Yeah.
You know, because like, Carlos goes and just, I feel like, just threw that fucking company into the trash.
Yeah, and then bailed.
Yeah.
Did you hear about the two Americans who are going to face prosecution?
No.
They helped ship them out in the Jell-O box.
Oh, those, they got caught?
Yeah.
They were American?
Yeah, apparently they were two Americans.
Oh, I thought they were, wasn't he like in Armenia or something like that right now?
I don't know. Yeah, is that where he mailed him?
Lebanon. I think he's in Lebanon right now.
But yeah, apparently there were two Americans who helped like smuggle him out.
Okay.
Like,
can you imagine that's like your life? Like you get like contracted to smuggle out fucking high-end CEOs high-end and shit.
Clients? Yeah.
Like what?
Yeah.
How do you... What path did you take?
How'd you get on that niche?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What does your resume look like?
It's like there's that episode of Better Call Saul where they brought in like specific contractors to get estimates on building their secret meth lab. And they like fly one guy in from France and then fly like a foreman in from Germany. It's like, how did you become known as this guy? Like the guy from France is like, oh yeah, I've done this for cartels. I help contract and build their tunnels and stuff. And it's like, where did you, like, how do you get into this niche?
Right.
Like, that's an amazing economic niche for yourself.
And how do the people that need to know who you are, but the people who don't want to know who you are, don't know who you are?
Yeah. Nürburgring pays tribute to Sabine. That's cool.
Yeah, they're naming the first corner after her.
Sabine died?
Yeah.
When?
A few months ago.
Oh, shit. I didn't know that. That's really sad.
Yeah. I don't know if it says on here when she passed.
Did she die in a wreck?
No. She was battling cancer.
Man, that's so sad.
Right?
That's a loss for the car community.
Yeah, I thought you knew that. They have only 51.
I really didn't know that.
Yep.
She
had been battling cancer for a long time, I guess, but finally just took the best of her.
And that's so fucking sad.
Always sucks when a racing driver succumbs to some bullshit like that.
Yeah, and doesn't die in an actual wreck.
Right.
Like even Colin McRae in that helicopter crash.
Right.
Yeah.
It's weird to say probably to outsiders, like, what, you want them to die like in a fiery wreck? And I'm like, well, Kinda.
As opposed to a boring, slow hospital bed death?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. They do too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I always tell people. I'd rather die crashing my car at like 85 years old into a wall than die slowly in a fucking hospital bed.
Yeah.
You know, hooked up to a bunch of machines. That's why I like too with Pikes Peak, they're not doing the motorcycles anymore. Because 2 years ago, that guy died on the going off track.
Oh, man.
And apparently, they have to have some, the race organizers have to have some sort of insurance. And the insurance pretty much said they wouldn't cover them if they did motorcycles anymore.
Holy shit.
Which is so retarded. Because, like, I just don't get it. Every one of those motorcycle drivers, riders.
Yes.
They know.
They know.
Yeah.
They know the rest of them. Any person who races, like motocross, MotoGP.
Right.
Those are the ballsiest racers in racing.
Right.
One-wheel drive, that does the fucking, no downforce.
Anybody that does the Isle of Man TT?
Yes. Oh, yeah. God, Isle of Man.
Right.
Narrow-ass roads.
Right.
With, like, cobblestone. Did you see the video of the STI that lost control at 150 miles an hour?
No.
And the driver, like there's literally crowds on both sides. It's like one of those, you know, going through a town parts of the Isle of Man. And there's cobblestone roads on both sides. He's at a buck 50, and he starts tank slapping.
Oh, God.
And he avoids the crash and keeps the thing on track. And there's literally just people. Like, there's no way that wouldn't have had casualties.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Like, but, yeah, he did it. Heroically, like, yeah, he avoided a crash at 150, like, and on the Isle of Man. Like,
yeah, that's amazing, because there's no room to maneuver through there.
Mm-mm. Like, I watched part of the video, I'm like, what the fuck?
At least, though, Nürburgring is recognizing her.
And they should. I mean, she was considered the Nürburgring specialist.
Right.
Like, that video where she tries to, she got within 20 seconds of Jeremy Clarkson set a lap time in a BMW, and she got within 20 seconds in a van.
Yeah. Yeah, the van video is probably the most famous thing people know her for.
Is the van video?
Yeah. But
I always thought they should have just, like, because I remember they did a, actually earlier that season, they did, or it might have been the season before, they did a van comparison.
Oh, yeah.
The three of them bought vans. And Jeremy bought the fastest van, and it was a Volkswagen. And she was in that Ford Transit van, and I remember them like, well, it had to be a Transit van, because that's, you know, the van they used for all these bank robberies and stuff. But it's like, if they had given her that turbocharged Volkswagen van, I think she actually could have hit his time.
You mean that Ford? Should. You mean that Ford Transit
that
van?
That Ford Transit van, yeah.
Yeah, I have that in Assetto Corsa now.
Have you driven it around the ring?
Not yet, no. Yeah, then last Base Nectar show we went and saw.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Was that before Base Nectar?
Yeah, before he was a pedo.
Or it came out that he was a pedo. That sucks.
Right.
He put on such good shows.
Yeah, can you people just stop touching children, please?
Yes. I mean, I liked House of Cards.
Yeah, right?
And House of Cards got a lot worse when Kevin Spacey left.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even get through that last season.
He's a... Right. I mean, I've never watched the show, but Kevin Spacey in general is a good actor.
Right?
You know?
That horrible Superman movie, him as Lex Luthor, was, like, the best thing about it.
Yeah. Or his appearance in Call of Duty.
Which Call of Duty?
Future Warfare?
Oh, I haven't played that one.
Yeah.
He's one of the villains I met?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just because he's Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, exactly.
I assume he's a villain.
Yeah, he makes a great villain. Real life, he makes a great villain, apparently.
That's true. Maybe that's what we couldn't see it all along.
Right?
It's like, well, he played such a great villain. I wonder why.
Do you remember when Kevin Spacey tried to make himself the victim after that?
Yes, I do.
He's like, oh, I just can't stop thinking about little boys. Bad for me. I'm like,
and
no.
Now I will live life as a gay man. It's like, well, why did it have to come out publicly for you to live
also,
life as a gay man?
Also, we're not mad that you're gay, Kevin.
Yeah. Nothing to do with that.
That wasn't it.
Yeah. If you were gay with adults, this wouldn't be a conversation we'd be having.
It makes some tabloid headlines like, oh shit, Kevin Spacey's gay.
Yeah.
Who knew?
And then he'd probably be in like a bunch of TV series and shit. He'd probably host SNL.
Right, exactly.
And then he'd be more famous than ever in a completely different demographic.
Yep. But no, you had to go grooming little boys and screwing it all up. The new Tesla Model S is going to have a fucking like non-round steering wheel?
Like an airplane yoke.
Why? That's stupid. There's a reason we don't use those in cars.
Yeah, because you can't rotate it all the way around.
I mean, you can, but it's just like this awkward hand over fist thing.
In an airplane where they have those yokes, it works because you never go further than 90 degrees.
Right.
And if you're at 90 degrees, some crazy shit's happening.
Yeah, right. Or like a Formula One car uses that because once again, you go to 90, maybe a little bit farther, but that's it.
But that's it, yeah. In a car, you have to be able to spin the all the way around.
This is why, this is my biggest problem with electric cars is how gimmicky they are.
But they're still kind of a gimmick.
I mean, they are, and I guess they just have to like...
They're leaning into it too hard. Is that a Japanese K-truck toy?
Oh, I did not show you that.
I was looking at that earlier.
It's a model kit.
What?
And it transforms into a tank.
A K-truck tank?
Yeah, now look on the back. There's more.
It's a fucking transformer? Yeah. What? So you can buy like multiple ones of these and hook them together?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time finding the rest because apparently they made these like last year and for just 1 year run. And I found this at the hobby store right around the corner there. And I was like, well, yes, I need to buy this.
Yeah.
And I was like, I need to find the other ones. And they're hard to find. So I need to find the rest of these so I can have the fucking K-truck mecha.
Dude, that is fucking cool. That is the most Japanese thing I've ever seen.
Right?
That's awesome.
Oh, and the quote on the back here, because I use my Google Translate.
Yeah.
It says something about Grandpa, which I guess this is Grandpa, converting his farm truck into a tank. For some reason.
I just love the whole kooky old men thing.
Yeah.
Like that Japanese culture thing.
Yeah.
Because we do that here, but I feel like it's, I don't know. I feel like Me Too killed it because it was never sexualized.
Oh, yeah.
I just feel like you couldn't write a Doc Brown character today.
Yeah. They'd be like, ooh, he's creepy or something.
Right. Know? Like, why is he hanging out with this teenager? Because apparently nobody asked that question in the 80s.
Yeah. Oh, here's the other ones on the side there.
So there's white, green, blue, and then they're all color-coded in black.
I like the white one.
So the white one is... So the white one's a little mini mech.
Yep.
The green one is looks like a Zord. The blue one's a tank, and the black one is a Tyrannosaurus.
Yeah.
Scoop.
But I guess also the blue one, you can transform it into a fighter jet.
What?
Yeah.
Be the slowest fighter jet in the world.
But I'm just like, I just was like going through, because I don't know, I like to swing by the hobby store once in a while and look at like Gundam model kits, because like I got this guy that I built a while back, my Zaku. It's all painted up and stuff, falling apart now because they're very fragile, unfortunately. But yeah, I got him all painted up and stuff. And
it looks cool.
Yeah, the finish came out really good in that.
What kind of paint do you use?
So I was actually using these things called they're Gundam labeled like paint markers, but I was
actually Gundam labeled.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Because the building Gundam model kits is called Gunpla. I don't know.
Awesome.
I'm not the one who came up with the name.
No, I mean, it's just funny that like there's the like they've all got little names like that, you know?
Right. But so yeah, they make their own branded paint markers for that, and then all I did is I actually just took the paint and put it into a little. Like, I just squeezed it out of the marker and then used a brush on it. But for whatever reason, this light green, I don't know what was going on with it, but you can see it actually, the brush marks and stuff, but it almost ended up looking like camo.
Yeah, it came out perfectly.
Yeah, so I was like, that's awesome. That's exactly what I wanted it to look like.
Because a Gundam with a perfect finish is an unused Gundam.
Right, yeah.
Like
yeah, I don't like them all glossy and shiny.
If you've got a giant battle robot,
right.
It's like it can't look perfect.
No. And that's called weathering. There's people that go crazy with that shit. They have like burn marks in them and shit.
And they actually like paint it in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'll actually like burn holes in the plastic and then paint it and stuff.
That's pretty nuts.
Yeah. People go pretty crazy. Someday I'll show you some of the like Reddit Gunpla stuff that people post. People are just insane. Like they look too good. But anyways.
My buddy in chat is all about the Star Wars Legos.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's got like... an absurd amount of Star Wars Legos.
I don't blame him. Some of those kits are awesome. I'm not a big Star Wars fan.
Oh, they're he's got like a whole he's got a glass display case full of all the ships.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, they are awesome. Like, and that's his thing. Like, you know, how everybody's got their thing they like to retail shop for when when we're too either too broke or too defeated to buy car parts.
Yeah. Like, I need to do something else.
Yeah. It's like, for me, I buy gun stuff.
Yeah.
And he buys Legos.
Yeah. Well, I was just when I was in Target the other day, like, I walked by the Lego section. They got all those Lego speed things. They're like little kits, but they're like real cars.
Oh, that's cool. Like an actual
scale model of the Speed car. Champions.
That's so cool that Chris found a Hot Wheels of his car.
Right. Yeah, look, I haven't been on here, but.
Oh, that's cool.
McLaren's, freaking Corvette, Mustang, Audi R18, R8 Le Mans.
The drag race Camaro.
Raptor and a Ford Model A kit.
Ooh, 919.
But yeah, they're not even that much. They're only like $20 for a kit, but.
That actually looks a lot like the Bugatti.
Right? I mean, you can always get like the Technic sets, which are like legitimately like.
And these are licensed Lego stuff?
Yeah. 100% licensed.
I was just thinking how cool it would be to put that Bugatti Veyron grill on to like an X-Wing.
I mean, you could.
Yeah.
I need to get this one. The Ford Fiesta M-Sport.
Yeah, that's
rally cool. Car.
That's very you.
Right? Need that one, of course. But yeah, I'm just like, oh, I could see myself just getting the whole collection at some point.
Just building them all.
Yep. Anyways, we got a show to do.
We do, and you've got places to be.
For like the fifth time here. All right.
Well, we mitigated it. We drank on Thursday.
Yeah, that's true. Did we mitigate it? Because we were going for an hour before just now.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Time just flies, man.
Time flies when you're having fun, man.
It does.
Does Tire Rack sell Michelins?
They do, but I don't know if they sell these.
There it is. Is the original equipment for the Ferrari 458, Mercedes SLS AMG Coupe Black Series, and 918 Spider Hybrid.
So these are the tires they're naming are the tires that are OE tires on these insanely fast platforms from the factory.
But even then, it's 180 treadwear tire. It's not eligible anyways, so I don't know why they're excluding it.
So what's the difference between 180 treadwear and a 200 treadwear?
The lower the number, the stickier the tire generally.
So 200 treadwear is as sticky as you can get with still be streetable.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
They limited it at 200 treadwear a long time ago, I think, just because like that was where you kind of cross over into racing tires, legit racing tires. And then they started making special 200 treadwear autocross tires that are basically just race tires anyways.
But they fit the regulation.
Right. Like I've said it before, I think my RT660s, I bet you that's like 120 treadwear tire. But they just...
It's a 200.
Yeah, they just slap 200 on it because there's no regulation. Like, this isn't a standard. Like, it's just the manufacturer just puts the number on there.
There's no third party that verifies any of this?
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, everybody's definitely cheating. And didn't you say they made them wider too, right?
Yeah, much wider.
Yeah,
My 215s are as wide as... most 225s at least.
So the 225 I buy is probably going to be like a 235 or a 245.
Yeah, probably.
Sending this shit. Yeah.
You know, we're actually under a tornado watch.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, technically, this county is like on the edge of a tornado watch.
Okay.
It's mostly out east.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to drive towards it.
Yeah, technically. Even then, all the tornado activity that happens in Colorado is like way east of Denver, out in the plains.
That makes sense because the mountains just aren't, they don't favor, like tornadoes don't like mountains.
Yeah, not really.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever seen, yeah. I wonder if there's ever been a tornado in the mountains.
I imagine was really short-lived,
right? But it's just whenever, I mean, that's the same reason, as far as I understand, like we get our afternoon hail and stuff.
Yeah.
It's just like, the cold air comes off the mountains, like the sun comes up, hot air down here, and then for whatever reason, every afternoon, some cold air comes down off the mountains, and you get that swirling effect. And
I actually learned about this in aviation class. There's something, it's like an effect about when when you lose the heat from the sun, it actually causes the airflow from a mountain to like reverse direction.
Huh.
And like there's so like we actually were taught to like look at the way the clouds are sitting on the peak of the mountain, and it gives you an idea of what the turbulence is like right there.
Oh, really?
Like if you ever see a cloud with just like a mountain with little cloud hats,
mm-hmm.
you know, like yeah. that there means there's like there's turbulence right there.
Okay.
Like right above the mountain.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's like so much meteorological shit we have to learn. Like if there's standing lenticular clouds, which is like it looks like a lens, like little clouds in like a, you know, like instead of one overcast sheet,
mm-hmm.
it's like that means that the air is unstable right there.
Really?
So that you have to look at, you know, those meteorological conditions and be like, okay, I don't want to fly right there. And if you look at pilot meteorological reports, they call them PIREPs, you have to pay attention to the type of plane that's reporting it. Because if like a 737 reports turbulence, then that's going to knock a Cessna out of the sky.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like if a Cessna feels turbulence, it's like, okay, maybe it'll okay.
be fine. Yeah.
Like, especially if you're in a larger plane.
Yeah.
But if you're in a little plane and like the big guys are like, it's a little rough up there. It's like, oh, I'm going to die if I fly over there.
It's like if a big lifted truck is like, oh man, there's a bad pothole in that road. You're in a Miata. You're like, I'm just not going down that road.
Like, I don't need to go there.
Oh, that's funny. That maybe reminded me, there's a mountain up by Glenwood Springs, Mount Sopris, I think it is. But I drive by that every day on my way to Aspen. And like,
yeah,
in the summer, like every morning, there was just a cloud. Like it'd be a blue, completely blue sky, nothing, but there'd be a cloud just around the peak of that mountain.
Just sitting right there on top.
Yeah.
It must just be, the way the wind blows right there.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I don't know if I have any pictures of it, but it was just always weird because blue sky and then one cloud.
Yeah, I didn't realize how moving here, like, it makes the meteorological study more pertinent.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, in Tennessee, it's just like, what's it look like?
Right?
All right, we're good.
Yeah. It'll be good for the 6 hours.
Or like one time I took off out of the pattern. I'm like, and you're supposed to announce your intentions when you're in a non-towered airport because everybody's just like, here's what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Don't crash into me.
Yeah.
And so I'm like departing the pattern to the east. You go to the practice area. And as soon as I get up to like pattern altitude, which is like 18,000 feet, I look over and there's just a wall of cloud in the east, just all the way to the ground. I'm like, no longer departing the pattern to the east.
That's funny.